CBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic ABC Media
News, app. ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. The State Department now confirming at least 9 Americans are among the 700 killed in the surprise Hamas attack in southern Israel, at least 500 Palestinians killed in Gaza, and at least 100 people are believed held hostage by militants. ABC's David Muir is in Tel Aviv.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu making it very clear here that Israel is at war. Hamas militants going from town to town here in Israel, door to door, killing indiscriminately. And where they didn't kill, they took hostages, mothers and their children.
Jonathan Feiner is the administration's deputy national security advisor.
We strongly suspect that there will be American citizens among those killed. We are looking obviously very intensively into whether there were any Americans among those who have been abducted and brought to Gaza.
The Nobel Prize in Economics has been awarded to Harvard University professor Claudia Golden. This is ABC News. In White Township, Pennsylvania, a search for multiple gunmen after a mass shooting early Sunday morning. Police say a 22-year-old Pittsburgh man was killed, 8 others wounded, 1 critically. It happened at a private party inside a community center in Indiana County. Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens is with Pennsylvania State Police.
People dove through windows, people ran through doors, ran through porch railings trying to get away from that scene. And so there was chaos.
Simone Biles is still the greatest, the 26-year-old winning gold in the balance beam and floor events at the Gymnastics World Championships wrapping up Sunday. Earlier, Biles getting the gold in the all-around and team competitions, as well as a silver in the vault. Overall, Biles earning a record 37 world and Olympic medals. Also winning big, Kenya's Kelvin Kiptum. He set a new marathon world record in Chicago Sunday, finishing in 2 hours and 35 seconds. Justin Finch, ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what you need to know.
A man who went missing last week in Green Bay has been found dead. 21-year-old Victor Torres Guadalupe was found in the water near the Riverway Marina on Saturday, October 7th, around 4 p.m. Emergency crews reached the scene after a body was reported partially visible in the water. He was later identified by the Brown County Medical Examiner. Victor Guadalupe had been missing since October 3rd. An initial search of the Fox River by Green Bay Police and the U.S. Coast Guard came up empty. Authorities say they do not suspect foul play. The Green Bay Area Public Schools have a big to-do list at tonight's board meeting. The board will consider a $150 million referendum. The funds would go to building a new elementary school, renovating West High School, which could potentially house district offices, and implementing security updates at many of the schools. The board will also discuss closing Tank Elementary and Keller Elementary schools.
Ichwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means my co-host, Sandy Williams, and boy, Sandy.
Well, you wake up in the morning and you don't know what you're going to read about. This, you know, the world has kind of gone crazy. We've got the countries all over the world are fractured between right and left. That's one of the problems in Israel right now, is that they've gotten sort of fractured politically between the right and the left. You know, it was happening in Turkey, and it's happening all over. But you know, this Hamas thing, I keep talking about end games, and I have to tell you, I don't quite understand how the end game works in a situation like what has gone on in between Israel and Palestine for so long, except that the world out there tends to believe that a two-state solution is necessary. But I don't know whether Hamas makes the two-state solution more likely by what they're doing.
Sandy, you were in Israel several years back, and they said Hamas fired 2,500 to 5,000 rockets.
Yeah.
Where do they hide those things? I don't.
Well, the rockets were fired from the Gaza. So, how do they hide it? Well, I don't know. I don't know how the extent to which Israel patrols inside the Gaza, but the Gaza Strip is apparently one of the most densely populated areas in the world. 2 million people live in a very small geographic area that is entirely fenced and has police checkpoints to get in and out of. So, and actually has walls that are dug down into the earth to avoid tunneling so that people can't get out of Gaza. It's essentially a bit like a prison for 2 million Palestinians who are required then to live inside the Gaza Strip and whose passage in and out is highly restricted.
Which, Sandy, clearly has created an environment of desperation. Is it safe to say that?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, when I was looking at what Hamas does, what's the end game? And maybe it's harder to judge what an end game is when people are operating out of desperation, out of an effort to display their discontent in very tangible, horrifying ways. You know, now the Wall Street Journal's carrying a story that the intelligence agencies around the world haven't yet corroborated, which is that the attack was at least planned in conjunction with Hezbollah and the Iranians, and that therefore the Iranians are sort of in the background. Although it sounds like just by in the nature of providing planning assistance and not actual physical assistance.
Well, the United States has pushed back against that. Joe Biden and Blinken have said there's no truth in that. They they haven't seen anything to corroborate.
Yeah, they haven't. They said they haven't seen corroboration of Iranian involvement, and I'm not sure whether intelligence involvement gets all the way to getting you inside the inside warfare. Exchanging intelligence is something the United States does extensively, including with Ukraine, right?
Right.
And so I think the United States would be reluctant to say that intelligence sharing is an act of war, because that would put us in a bad spot with respect to Ukraine. But we have sent our most sophisticated aircraft carrier force into the area, so that that's apparently there to try and keep Hezbollah or any third party from intervening into the process and trying to contain this, so that this is essentially almost like a civil war within Israel. I mean, it's not a civil war. Gaza's not not a part of Israel in a direct sort of way. Well, it is. I mean, the world has trouble understanding the status of, for instance, the West Bank and Gaza. It has an unusual status.
So, Sandy, it's kind of safe to say that what is transpiring there has the capacity to become a multifaceted,
pronged
war.
Oh, yeah. I mean, stability in the Mideast is fragile, and this kind of a thing goes right to the heart of the instability in the Mideast. I mean, Israel is to the extent that there is a destabilizing factor within the Mideast, it's Israel. Israel is an outlier. It's not a Muslim country. It's not in league with the Muslim countries, and is at odds in some ways with them, or they with Israel. In any case, there are definitely arm's length. So there's this very arm's length situation in the Mideast. Saudi Arabia has been sort of a closeted white knight there to defend the sanctity of the Israeli borders. I think the Saudi situation is more in flux. They're trying to become a world player, and they're trying to become more of a neutral world player, not so much in the pocket of the United States as they have been in the past. Destabilizing the Mideast has the potential to be just very destabilizing in the world.
Let me ask you, Sandy. The situation in Gaza has been going on for a long time, and Hezbollah has not attacked. There's clearly been ratcheted up issues with the Palestinians and Israelis since Netanyahu took control again. Is it safe to say part of this, that Netanyahu has kind of created an atmosphere?
Well, the Netanyahu government, this most recent government, is the most conservative of the recent governments in Israel. And that conservatism has created a situation in which the second state solution seems to be much more remote. There have been actions that have been taken to minimize the rights of the non-Jewish citizens within Israel, so that the religious state nature of Israel has become heightened even more than was embedded in the whole principle of Israel to start with. And so I think that was bound to create frictions. I haven't followed this closely enough to understand what it is that has brought this to the boiling point at this moment. It seems as if it has surprised Israel as well. And so it might just be that Israel seemed to be a bit asleep at the switch, and Hamas, which is the ruling party, the ruling group, at least in de facto in Gaza, decided to take advantage of it.
So let me ask you, Sandy, I remember when the Iron Shield that was touted by Israel that would kind of deter incoming rockets. And it's 10 years in now, maybe a little bit longer than that. Maybe the technology of the Iron Shield has not been kept up, but they created the Iron Shield to prevent just what took place. Is it safe to say maybe people have fallen asleep on the switch? I mean, the United States didn't detect this. Israel and these, well, you got to figure they've got the best information in the world, you would think, the United States and Israel.
Well, I think so. I don't know the extent to which the types of rockets and the attacks of Hamas in this circumstance were the type that could be defended by the shield, because I think the attacks were, most of them, very short range. Very short range, within mere miles of the Gaza. The Ashkelon, a place I was shelled, apparently, I read this morning, and shelled rather extensively, but it could be shelled almost by artillery, that its proximity to Gaza was close enough so that, rockets, but very short-range rockets.
You know, this, I mean, 260 people were slaughtered.
At a music festival. Yeah.
And they found that out later. Right now, Gaza is being shelled around the clock, and so the carnage of this is really going to be in the thousands. We hope it doesn't get into the tens of thousands.
Well, I think
but it has the capabilities of that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think the problem is that the militants within Gaza are embedded within a population of 2 million, which is embedded in an area the size of a city in Milwaukee. And smaller than the city of Milwaukee, geographically, so that the shelling would necessarily, if you do it indiscriminately, rockets and shelling will kill many, many, many civilians. And so that's the difficulty of the situation. And the question is, you know, how much of that is Israel willing to pursue in the eyes of the world?
Well, the other side of it is 9 Americans were killed in the carnage, and they don't know how many Americans are hostage. Clearly, hundreds of hostages are now controlled by Hezbollah.
No, it's Hamas.
Hamas. Thousands, I mean, over 100.
Just to explain it, because it is confusing there. Hezbollah is basically in Lebanon, and it is an arm, supposedly an arm of the Iranians in terms of getting lots of aid from the Iranians. Hamas is the entity that is the terrorist organization, or at least it's the militant organization within Israel, within Gaza.
And Sandy, thanks for correcting me, because we need to be absolutely correct on who's doing what, and so people can understand it. We've got to go to a break, so we'll come to you guys on the phone lines after the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday, and a somber Monday, with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Right on. Trunk or treat, I'm going trunk or treating.
Terry, you got to be talking about one of the Halloween events coming up at both Green Bay area YMCAs, Saturday, October 28th. It's fun for the whole family and includes games, a costume contest, and of course, Halloween treats, my favorite.
Oh, and Todd, it's happening at the East Side YMCA from 1 to 4, then the West Side YMCA from 4 to 7. But the trunk or treat, well, that one's only on the East Side between 1 and 2. Decorate your car and the kids get treats from your trunk.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and it's all free. Would you rather help out? You can volunteer for any of the Halloween events on Saturday, October 28th at both Green Bay YMCAs.
Find all the information at greenbayymca.org. greenbayymca.org. Keeping you connected to your community, the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM, 97.9 FM, and the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Here's your updated forecast. High temperatures reach up to 52 this afternoon under cloudy skies, northwesterly winds, 10 to 20 miles an hour. 41 tonight, cloudy. High of 51 tomorrow, cloudy skies. Temperatures below average Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the mid-50s. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. Another look at the short range. Highs reach 52 this afternoon. Lows level off around 41 tonight. Highs reach 51 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 40.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Hey.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's a Summit Monday with my host, co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, before we go to the phone lines, you and I were discussing some of, you know, the situation that's at hand that's probably at the root of what transpired, and nobody's justifying the slaughter of people.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. But there's certainly some information that is pertinent to what's taking place.
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact is that this happens, something like this happens, and it seems to happen periodically over the last 50 years. This has been an occurrence that doesn't really surprise us too terribly much when it happens every decade or that kind of timing. And it is the result of the fact that the Palestinian-Israeli problem has never been solved. And the fact is that most of the world, including substantial parties within Israel, recognize that a two-state solution, sanctifying a state of Palestine to exist and be protected from and to be protected, both Israel and this second state of Palestine, to get world assurances of their mutual safety, is the solution. And the problem is, when something like this happens, it becomes very hard to now talk about that solution, because it then seems to be an apparent reward to Palestine for the horrible terror types of conduct. They're bottled up right now. Palestine and Gaza are bottled up by the Israelis. The Gaza Strip has a fence around it. It's barricaded off, much like a punitive island and a penal colony. And so obviously it's a festering sore. And this happens. And it's a horrible consequence. And the most depressing thing from my standpoint is it probably sets off in time, puts further into the future the time when the two-state solution can be discussed, because the world and the Israelis would argue that talking about a two-state solution now is to reward terrorism. But the terrorism is the result of not getting to the point of the two-state solution. So we've got a chicken and an egg here, and it needs to be resolved, because this is like the boil that just every once in a while goes off, and it's a terrible, terrible consequence.
All right, let's go to Dave from Mequon. Good morning to you, Dave. You say what?
Good morning. I'm just going to just tell you something really quickly. First of all, this is very hard for me personally, because Lindsay actually has family that lives there in Israel, and we're in communication with them, and we do FaceTime, and he's been in his bomb shelter now for the last couple of days with his dog, and he lives in Tel Aviv. And Sandy, I don't know if you realize this, but the shelling that's taken place, yes, it was predominantly in the southern part of Israel, but they've also have launched enough rockets. You know, initially it was 2,200 rockets, but since then they've launched a couple thousand more in addition to what they initially started. Number two, this is completely different from the standpoint that this is the first time in the 50 years since the Yom Kippur War that they've actually taken hostages.
Yeah.
Where they actually physically invaded the space. They never, before it was just rockets and what have you. This time, they literally went into the homes with bazookas. And when they grabbed the people, so just, you know, the death toll is up to 1,000 Israelis. And it's like about 300 or 400 Palestinians in retaliation so far. And it is going to get uglier because Hamas has basically, they invaded not only by land, they took hand gliders, they went by sea, they did everything. They went on all fronts. And so when you were talking about the intelligence, there were some warnings ahead of time. Unfortunately, I don't think it was taken seriously enough. It's sort of like the situation when the United States knew that Pearl Harbor actually knew was going to be bombed potentially, and it got lost up the chain of command, and they didn't think that was actually going to take place. The same thing happened here, because there was some knowledge, but the flip side is, keep in mind, a lot of this technology has changed.
Where so David,
you should have some old school on the ground intelligence.
I know, but David, so we don't have time to go through all of it. I'm sorry, but your thoughts on what Sandy is saying about the fact that they have refused to work on this two-state solution?
Well, I guess my point was that ultimately this is a symptom of the fact that they haven't resolve that, okay? This is the festering sore that boils up. It's ugly, and the problem is that a country without an army resorts to terrorism, because if you don't have the military might to march, then you end up using terrorism, and that is the response, which involves then citizens,
right?
Civilians. So it's horrifying,
and especially now, it's bad enough that Israeli citizens are hostages, but now America has citizens, American citizens killed, and I don't know how many there are hostages, and now that brings America into this.
Yeah, I mean, the hostages are clearly being taken back to Gaza to form essentially a human shield kind of a thing.
So we got to go to a break. David, thank you for the call. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the other side. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. So let me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. The State Department now confirming at least 9 Americans are among the 700 killed in the surprise Hamas attack in southern Israel. At least 500 Palestinians killed in Gaza. And at least 100 people are believed held hostage by militants. ABC's David Muir is in Tel Aviv.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu making it very clear here that Israel is at war. Hamas militants going from town to town here in Israel, door to door, killing indiscriminately. And where they didn't kill, they took hostages, mothers and their children.
Jonathan Feiner is the administration's deputy national security advisor.
We strongly suspect that there will be American citizens among those killed. We are looking obviously very intensively into whether there were any Americans among those who have been abducted and brought to Gaza.
The Nobel Prize in Economics has been awarded to Harvard University professor Claudia Golden. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. The Green Bay Area Public Schools have a big to-do list at tonight's board meeting. In addition to two more school closings, the board will consider a $150 million referendum. The funds would go to building a new elementary school, renovating West High School, which could potentially house district offices, and implementing security updates at many of the schools. The board will also discuss closing Tank Elementary and Keller Elementary schools. The district faces shrinking enrollments and a budget deficit in the millions. A man is dead after being shot by police. Saturday afternoon, Fox Crossing and Menasha police were called to a domestic dispute in the 1100 block of Geneva Road in Menasha. They arrived to find a man with what authorities called bladed weapons. A Menasha police officer fired his weapon and shot the man. Police officials tried to give the man first aid, but he was pronounced dead at the scene. The Wisconsin DOJ is investigating the incident. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And go to the phone lines and CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Give me just a minute here because how we got here. If you recall Oslo Accords in 1993, President Clinton had Shimon Peres from Israel and Yasser Arafat Israel offered everything that Yasser Arafat and the Palestinians wanted. Everything. Gave them everything he wanted. They didn't want it to happen. They don't want peace. That's the thing.
CJ. Why would they not want peace? Peace according to the terms of Israel and peace according to the terms of the Palestinians are two different things.
Again, Israel gave Yasser Arafat and the Palestinians everything they wanted, everything. President Clinton talked about it, Oslo Accords. And this president gave Iran $6 billion.
CJ, nothing to do with this.
I think the intelligence approach with the $6 billion that went to Iran, I think it still sits in a bank in Qatar, so I don't think it's been touched yet. So that the immediate reaction of the media, the social media was that the $6 billion, those dollars were being funneled in the direction of Hamas to support this. And I think that fact is not accurate. We have another ally that's soft on this as well. It's Saudi Arabia, and we've not only funneled money in the direction of Saudi Arabia, we've sold them all kinds of weaponry, and we're very close to them. So I think the Middle East is a lot more complicated than we want to think about it and that we want to talk about it. I think that's the problem. And I do think that the world has been watching, and there have been repeated efforts to create a peace in Israel that relates to ultimately what would be a two-state solution. And I don't believe, incidentally, that Oslo Accord was a two-state solution at the time.
But I also want to clarify that CJ and others say that Joe Biden and them gave Iran, number one, it was their money. When Barack Obama returned some of the money back to Iran, it was money, their money, that we had held in our banks for decades. So when Biden was able to return some of their money, it was to free American hostages. So let's be clear. Didn't give them anything. It's their money. And in return, American hostages were released.
Interesting. This is just an interesting tidbit, but the precursor to U.S. Bank here in Milwaukee was the First Wisconsin Bank. And the largest shareholder of First Wisconsin Bank was the Shah of Iran and his trust. And there was part of those frozen assets that were returned were essentially the follow-on assets that were part of that First Wisconsin business. So anyway.
Okay. So go ahead, CJ. So we have to clarify that.
Okay. I can refute almost everything.
Refute it.
My mic off.
Hey, CJ, refute.
The Supreme Leader of Iran, Ali Khamenei, said, we'll spend the money the way we want. The $6 billion frees up their other money to support Hamas. Take more hostages.
You don't know that, CJ. You can't verify any of that.
$1 per hostage.
CJ, you can't verify. CJ, you're in America.
Well, look.
How can you verify that?
Look, money.
You can't.
Money is money, and we have a variety of countries in the Middle East who are providing a variety of kinds of support to groups in the Middle East, including Hamas. And I think you'll find that Saudi Arabia also provides support. I just think the Middle East is a lot more complicated than we can talk about it if what we want to talk about is just simply good guys and bad guys. I do think that anyone looking at this objectively has to be very sorry that this has happened, that it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for Israel. It's a tragedy for both Israel and Palestine in that it probably stalls and kicks the can further down the road into the future when actual peace can be arrived at. And I'm not sure that looking backwards at the Oslo Accord and at all of that tells us a great deal about
where
situation.
We are today.
Yeah, about where we are today. Yeah. I think where we are today is the result of the fact that we have still not solved this problem. And part of the fault of solving the problem has to reside with within Israel as well as within the rest of the world and certainly within Palestine.
And the United States as well, because we have not done our due diligence to make sure that this is...
Well, I mean, the extent to which we can lean on the countries to solve this is possibly limited, and our political will to lean on one or the other of the parties might also be limited. And so, we've tried to produce peace, and we're doing things that are making things somewhat more peaceful in the Mideast. The recognition of Israel by some of the Mideastern countries is a move in the right direction. But I don't know. I think to try and turn this situation into a question that relates to United States partisan politics is to duck from reality and to simply get a shiny object back into the discussion.
All right, CJ, quickly.
This president, President Biden, refused to meet with Netanyahu for 285 days. This is caused by this president's weakness. And yes, here's the thing. Israel says, this is what Iran says about Israel. You choose life. We choose.
Hey, CJ.
That's what the palace.
CJ, I have to ask you how you can say this is caused by President Joe Biden. Connect that dot for me.
Very easily, $6 billion.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much for the call.
All right.
Sandy, that's.
Well, I just think people want to get excited and want to create and lay blame within the United States because it's convenient and potentially politically an attractive outcome. But the blame in the Mideast resides in the Mideast, and the situation in the Mideast resides in the Mideast, and the ultimate solution to it needs to reside there as well. And the notion that the United States can be a broker for it, as can Russia. Incidentally, this is an interesting situation because 2 million of the 11 million Israelis are Russians, and Russia is actually almost as close an ally to Israel as the United States is. And so this is a situation in which it's very complicated. Russia has an alliance with Iran, but it also has a very tight arrangement with Israel. And so there are world forces there who are willing to support peace in the Mideast and a peace that is not and should not be anathema to Israel.
So, Sandy, here's something that I just don't understand. There are people saying, well, maybe we need to get China in this and China can have dialogue and come, as if China is in a position to broker peace more so than the United States.
Well, China...
And yet we condemn China at every turn, but the world is saying, looking at China... Am I right or wrong in that assessment?
Well, no, you're right about that, because China ends up being a very big trading partner in the Mideast. It's a big oil customer. It also is a big trading partner with everybody in the world, okay, in terms of selling its products in those countries. And so... China indeed is in a position, and also China has opened up relations with the Muslim Mideast, and is in a position to also have a thread of contact that goes through Iran, to the extent that Iran is a player in the background. You know, we're a player in the background, providing intelligence and information to the countries that are denominated the West. Well, Iran and Russia and China and these countries also share intelligence and are in a sort of stream of information to all the countries which don't call themselves the West. And they even are involved with some of the countries that call themselves the West, just as we are involved with some of the countries that don't call themselves part of the West. So there is a back channel that runs outside of our public's view, in which these countries have influence, and China has plenty of influence.
And you know, Sandy, it's just a fact that we as Americans don't want to accept that there's somebody else outside of us being the ones to always come to the rescue of these things, right? It's safe to say that time has passed. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah. And, you know, the notion that that somehow not meeting with Netanyahu could produce this outcome begs the fact that we have continued to supply weapons and to supply all of the necessary resources to Israel that are needed to defend itself. And I don't think anybody believes that Israel is in a weakened military position today from what it ever has been. Israel is the mightiest military force in the Mideast, even though it has only 11 million citizens. It has all of the weaponry and all of the technology necessary to defend itself, including, without its own admission, in all likelihood, the nuclear bomb.
And not to mention the backing of the United States government, because clearly Netanyahu made the statement that we are going to be looking for support from the American government. And right away, it was asked what, and he started talking about money. So Sandy, you know, there's not going to be any question, even without a Congress, acting Congress right now. Israel asks for money, they're going to get the money, right?
Well, to money can be flowed by the president only under somewhat limited circumstances. So I think it is true that to the extent that it's a material sum of money were to be sent there, it might well require an act of Congress, which would require that the House of Representatives get its act in order so that it can do so.
So let's say that this comes to fruition and Israel wants financial resources. Does it impact at all, if this goes on for an extended period of time, our commitment to Ukraine financially?
Well, obviously, you know, everyone in the country is now saying we've got finite resources. We have interest payment bills annually that are approaching the size of what we spend directly on our military, which is in the $600 billion range. And so, you know, we've got a big bill that we're paying for expenditures of money. And so foreign investments are increasingly finite. So that's just to say there's a limit to how many foreign wars we can finance, you know, Israel, Ukraine, Taiwan. Right. I mean, you know, how far are we willing to reach? And is it smart for us to put ourselves in a position of being the world financier of such things?
You know, Sandy, it's not just the fact that this thing is taking place now and Netanyahu has clearly declared war, but it's all the other things surrounding it, encompassing, that we have to be careful not to see it where it is now, but where it could escalate to in a millisecond, right?
Well, yeah, and I do think that's why that aircraft carrier group was sent there, was to try and isolate Israel from any potential foreign intervention. Whether in fact Hezbollah or somebody would consider intervening is a question mark. But yeah, I'm sure that the world is holding its breath because they would prefer that this be isolated. The problem Israel has is that because it's essentially a civilian terrorist group, and the civilians live in and amongst 2 million people in a very small area, it's not possible to simply indiscriminately bomb and send rockets against the enemy. The enemy has to be ferreted out and found, which is a far different thing.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. You know.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness.
For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York into Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York, and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to L.A. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 52. Northwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 41 tonight. Overcast skies. High of 51 tomorrow. Cloudy. Temperatures below average Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the mid-50s. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. To recap, highs reach 52 this afternoon. Lows level off around 41 tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 44.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Okay.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you know, this situation is not going to, you know, rectify itself overnight. Israel certainly has, as you stated, a military. And it's easy if you have a military and you're willing to fight with another military, your military might gives you a position and somebody to really fight, right? On equal footing, right? You've got somebody equal to you and the world is not going to cry crocodile tears when two armies go at each other. But when an army goes at a civilian population, it's a different story, right?
Well, and that's the difficulty with terrorism. We found that out in the United States. When your enemy is embedded in your civilian population and isn't walking around in uniform, isn't staging military actions in force, it becomes a much more difficult environment and a much more difficult situation to defend against. And that's the situation with Hamas and this whole problem that Israel now faces, because it's not, in most circumstances at least, a direct military confrontation. When you have 60 militants going into a music fair and now you've got something that seems like a military action, but when they disappear back into the civilian population, now you've got a problem of finding them and what to do about it and how measured can your response be. And you know, I think we can expect, in light of the horror of this, that the response of the Israelis might be less measured in the circumstance. And so we might just be watching some horrifying things unfolding here. Now, they have told the citizens of Gaza to basically find safe places.
But that's easier said than done, right?
Well, yeah, it's
2 million people.
2 million people in a very tight place means that it must mean that Israel plans on going in and fighting in military style. And not necessarily with rockets.
So let me ask you, Sandy. So when Israel says, evacuate Gaza, they're not just allowing people to just run out.
No, no,
they're going to filter.
No, they're saying basically find a safe place within Gaza. They aren't telling people in Gaza that they can all go through the barriers and find their own safe place within the rest of Israel. So, you know, I've not physically been within Gaza. I can't picture it. But my understanding is that people basically live on top of one another there, and that it won't be an easy place to get distance from the area of combat and danger.
You know, Sandy, you couple all of this just so people are aware of the times and what we are dealing with, because as Americans, these things don't directly affect us. Ukraine war, what's happening now in Israel, it doesn't impact us directly, but it's safe to say anything going on in the Middle East could affect the prices of oil at the drop of a hat. Is that safe to say?
Well, the price went up this morning, and the reason the price went up is instability, uncertainty. Also, something I wasn't aware of, and that is that Israel sits on a very huge reserve of natural gas, which they've just discovered, and so the access to that natural gas might be more restricted, and so that's had a price on the future spot price of gas. The Mideast is a major supplier of natural resources, and instability there then has an impact on the commodity prices of those things.
So we were just watching the prices of gas come down. Lowest I saw was $2.99. This happens. There's a possibility that that's going to ratchet up. If this lasts any extended period of time, we're all going to be impacted and affected by it.
Right, because the world price is what really affects our price. In spite of the fact that people wanting to point at Joe Biden, it's the world price of oil that affects the price of oil. And when the world price gets high enough, American oil manufacturers start putting their oil on boats, shipping it abroad to sell it at a higher price.
So add to this the issue with Congress and, you know, whether or not they're going to be able, the Republicans are going to be able to come to a consensus on who the next speaker is. That split right down the middle between Jim Jordan and Steve Scalise. But this is not a good time for that, is it?
No, I mean, you know, the instability of our government is a problem, and the inability of our government to run itself in an orderly fashion has an impact on our reputation. It also has an impact on our ability to be a reliable player in the world, as well as a reliable player in the U.S. economy. So instability like that can affect the U.S. economy. It also affects our position in the world, and it affects other nations who are relying on us.
You know, Sandy, We got to leave it there for now, but hopefully by Friday, we'll have seen positive changes, but we could very well see by Friday just an escalation that could lead this thing out of control. It's safe to say that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is the options here are not good and horrible, and the option of a good outcome by Friday is unlikely.
All right, we got to leave it there. Sandy Williams, my co-host on Mondays and Fridays. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. You know, we're in a tough situation, and I would say that all people listening right now, you should certainly focus, spend some time kind of focusing on what's going on now, because, you know, it's going to impact and affect our lives, and we can't stick our heads in the sand. It's going to impact and affect us. So I'll see you guys on tomorrow. See you later.
I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W25.